2 minutes and 4 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. We are now 6 hours, 57 minutes and 51 seconds away from Rick Emerson listener, Artie, 9. And you'll note that I eschewed the obvious Beatles looping number nine intro. Because we're above that sort of thing here. And also, I forgot to bring it with me today. So what are you going to do? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email today with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. By God, you can do it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. To the mellifluous strains of Dream Theater, we begin once again. Thank you for coming by. We are broadcasting for the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. And we are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Speaking of Portland, Oregon, by God, tonight is when it happens. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. I don't care what you have to do. If you have to pick up the phone book and dial random people, if you have to call people you don't even know, if you have to steal a plane, don't really steal a plane, but if you have to steal a plane and be skyriding over the city, instructions, dates, times, exhortations of attendance, then that is what you must do. We are now less than 7 hours away from Listener Party 9. We'll be there. Will you? It's 503-733-2970. So here's what's coming up today. I'm not going to revisit the whole Raiders of the Lost Rock business because that took a turn for the... That went away I didn't really anticipate yesterday. That went off in a direction that... See, I was thinking it was going to go one way. And then, see, what happened is it didn't... It went another way. A bad way. A way that was filled with shame and humiliation for everyone who was me. And also Andrew, because he liked it. Andrew emailed me back, that's a fantastic name. Rock! With a W. And then others did not share that assessment. Someday they'll see. Someday, like Edgar Allan Poe, the genius of Raiders of the Lost Rock will be revealed someday after we've shuffled off this mortal coil. It's okay, I'm not angry about it. You should hear, look, all I got to tell you is it's not worse than any of the crap. Let me find... What did I get? How about this one? Listen to this. Rick, band names. How about this? A rock car named Desire. That's not... I didn't come up with that. That's from Ron out there somewhere. Ron, that's a deeply, deeply stupid name. Not Ron. Ron's a fine name. A rock car named Desire is terrible. Also, here's some other gems from Ron. The Wrath of Rock. The Empire Rocks Back. That one's actually not so bad. Oh, fine, you sons of bitches. I'll put it down. All I'm saying is, by comparison, you know what it is? It's like if you're fat, you find fatter people. If you're ugly, you find people who've been burned badly. If you've come up with Raiders of the Lost Rock, you find a guy who said, wait, Mary Rockins. And then you look like a genius. Well, whatever. Don't call with a band name right now. I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for that later. I got a phone call this morning at about... It seemed like it was about 4 a.m. I did oversleep this morning, so it's hard to say. But I got a phone... The phone rang this morning. And, of course, I've got the embarrassing cell phone ring. And let me see if I can just... I don't know if you... I don't know if you all can hear this. But I get the cell phone ring this morning. And, so, Sarah, can you pop my mic? Oh, I guess my mic is flooded up. Let me see if I can. Let's see. This is. Oh, it wasn't that. Well, never mind. I was trying to demonstrate the badness of the ring that I got. I have this Run DMC ring on my phone, and it went up. My phone went off this morning at like 5 a.m., 4 a.m., something like that. It was all dark outside, and I was asleep. And I was in my special little happy place. The phone rang, and I answered, and I, like many of you, especially if you have a job where you have to be respectable, I have mastered the trait of sounding as though I'm awake when I'm dead asleep. So I answered the phone and I said, "Hello, this is Rick Emerson," and it was the special guest for tonight. We have now confirmed, because there was this shadowy, dark time when the special guest was sort of confirmed in theory, but not what we like to call in reality.
And that shadowy, dark time was yesterday, the day before the listener party.
Was last night. Me, 8 o'clock last night, having a dear special guest. Please, don't screw me. Please, come on. You know, and so I got a phone call this morning. Special guest locked, loaded, ready to rock. I also hold in my hands right here. Do you hear this? I know you do. That is the sound of pure, unadulterated musical genius. This is the set list for tonight. These are the Glengarry leads. And to you, they're gold. And you don't get them. They'll be assigned to closers. This is the set list for tonight's extravaganza, right here. The musical fantasticality contained within this set list is just, there's so much rock in this set list, I can barely lift it. It's hard to even get it off the notebook here, to hold it at the microphone. Talk about that. Jim Roop's going to be with us later on today to talk about, wait, don't tell me, it's not the plague, that was yesterday, it's porn. He's going to talk about porn today, and then Lisa Goddard is going to be talking about Iran or something.
We have Baumgarten and Root.
What I meant to say is that Gary Baumgarten's going to be talking about porn. I don't know. I don't even really know. It's like, you know what it is with the CNN guys? I said it and forget it. Whatever. We're all just going to, we'll just have everybody talk about porn. And we're going to find out if you're a girl with a crush on Sarah Dillon. That's coming up today as well. Speaking of which, at the helm, at the mast, at the control center, the nerve center, the bow, the bridge, the nucleus, the linchpin that holds the... You know why that one fell apart? Because I don't really know what a linchpin is used on.
Oh.
It holds two things together that I guess that otherwise would be apart, but I don't really know what kind of machinery that... Anyway, Sarah Dillon's here. How are you?
I'm good. I was not feeling well yesterday, so I took this morning off from COIN.
That's becoming kind of a regular occurrence with
you.
Well,
I only gave myself one day off last week, so I never got to get better. So I've just been, feeling like crap every morning.
You should literally phone in the traffic. They should just put it like, they should do the thing like when Bernie Shaw was reporting from Kuwait, mm-hmm. and there was just a still photo of him on the screen, and then you hear the voice, "We're being shelled at the hotel. You can see the light is anti-aircraft outside the window. Peter on that."
He's actually calling from the cafeteria while microwaving a burrito.
Yeah, and he's like down the hall, like just with his feet up on a desk somewhere, Roop stuff. They should just put a picture of you up on the screen with the coin tower exploding out of your cleavage, saying "dig deeper," and then you can just say, I could do the try.
The five is slow. SUVs are clogging the lanes. People with George Bush stickers are driving badly and obstructing others. Also, bicyclers have no sense of what kind of lane space they require, and it's gonna rain.
And there you go.
Yeah, that's huge ratings, right?
That's what I'm talking. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to tamper with the ratings machine that is Coin News 6. Zing!
See, you don't need to be mean.
I'm one to talk. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
An angry Chinese lady yells something in Chinese to the Chinese president in front of everybody at the White House.
Fantastic.
Immigration makes a dent in the 11 million illegal aliens by arresting 1,200 in a nationwide sting. Ambitious Minutemen say they'll build a wall at the Mexican border if the president won't. And Angelina Jolie's former lesbian lover warns Brad, you'll never keep her satisfied.
The best thing about this story is we could probably swap out the Chinese, the woman yelling at the Chinese premier or whatever, with Angelina Jolie's lesbian lover. No one would ever know the difference.
I think we should try that.
Fantastic. Okay. All right, that's all coming up. So, right here is the set list. Here is the email. There, Castle. There, Wolf. And all of that is coming up. Jen Lane's going to be here later on today. Your phone calls, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, the City Council, in all its wisdom, has begun discussion in renaming Northeast Portland Boulevard to Rosa Way Boulevard.
Now, is Northeast...
This is the location of most of the city's junkyards, an old abandoned industrial building.
I don't even know where this is.
This is, like, way past St. John's, where it gets even worse.
Oh, I see.
So this is a...
Well, it's good to see that they don't take all the black name streets and just stick them in some part of town that nobody wants to go to.
Like the West Hills?
Yeah, that's... I think there ought to be a rule. I think there ought to... This is we're going to do a whole... A whole segment called When I'm President. Mm-hmm. And here's what's going to happen when Rick... Let's write this down now. Hold on. I'm going to write this down. We'll do this at some future point. When I'm President. All right. There you go. All right. Hear that ambient noise in the background? That's the sound of real live radio happening here before your ears. Here's this. When I'm President, any street that is named after a person there's going to be a direct and completely inverse proportionality between the amount of money that person made when they were alive and then the average income in the neighborhood where the street goes. So everything named, like MLK, Cesar Chavez, Rosa Parks, right there in Lake Oswego. And then everything named for, like, Ken Lay, that's going to go in, like, you know, that's going to go northeast in St. John's.
Well, the council took no action last night. They look forward to hearing people's thoughts about this.
Rosa Way. Well, all right.
Meanwhile, a man accused of leaving sexually graphic notes and girls' underwear on doorsteps in Quincy, Massachusetts, could have Portland ties.
Of course.
54-year-old David Anderson was arrested after a tip for an acquaintance. They say Anderson confessed to leaving girls' underwear and sexually graphic notes written on magazine pages.
I have many detailed, sticky questions about this. A, where did he get the underwear? B, was the underwear used or right out of the package? C, did he pick different kinds of... The number of questions I have about this... I don't care about Iran. The number of questions I have about this story is endless. Did he pick certain kinds of underwear for certain girls? Were these girls he knew or just the girls he saw getting off the bus or something?
Randomly? We don't know that.
What was his point? What did the notes say? What kind of sexual material was it? These are all things that are not contained in the story.
Well, at one time he lived in Portland and St. Helens.
Well, all right. There you go. You know, didn't we have the Panty Bandit, too?
Yes, we did. Same
good times. They were holding it down for guys.
But he at least stayed around here. Sexual. Didn't travel much.
Whatever.
He claimed his territory.
He wasn't ashamed. Where was this?
This is Massachusetts.
Yeah, all right.
So he went all the way back there. Well, I guess Sun Koo Kim put his foot down and said, this is my panty area.
I claim panty area. You'll not put panties here. I claim panty area for whole state.
Which he did.
You know, here's the thing about we all... Never mind. My point is...
What is the point?
I have no point except to say this. This reminds me of a thought that I've had many times about serial killers. Because, let's be honest, there's not a whole lot of steps between leaving random underwear on women's doorknobs and then cutting off their heads and kicking it down a hill and then dancing around.
Oh, wait a minute. Sun Koo Kim did not leave underwear. He took underwear.
He stole. Well, see, then it all balances out. They could have formed a perfect equilibrium here. Be like some sort of a natural ecosystem. You know? You know, one guy leaves underwear, other guy picks the underwear up. Maybe brings it back cleaned or something.
Well, some people don't even use their imagination, I guess.
My point here, though, is do you ever wonder about this? And I bet you do. Do you ever wonder, because the FBI says that at any given time there are upwards of 25 serial killers working in the country. I don't know how they obtain such figures. I think it's made up. But let's assume that it's true. That's one serial killer for every two states, but you know that it's not evenly distributed because you know that most of them come from the Northwest and Florida. And so do you ever wonder if more than one serial killer is working at a city at the same time and... You gotta wonder if the serial killers are aware of each other. Not that they, like, go at tea. But, I mean, if you're some guy, you're, you know, whatever. Fancy name. What's the name for a serial killer? What could we call him?
The Lake Oswego Strangler.
That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Not that we're... I mean, you shouldn't do that. No. Okay, so you have the Lake Oswego Strangler, and then you have the West Hills Whacker. And so you have those two guys... Do you suppose if you're in a city where there's two serial killers that have not been apprehended, obviously, that are working, that they are on some level aware of each other?
Oh, like they have a meetup?
No, I'm not that they get together and have donuts.
Oh.
I'm just saying that, because the cops...
Well, yeah, well, if the cops are finding bodies and, like, one of them's like, I didn't do that.
Right, and like, you know, and you see it in the paper, like, you know, whatever, guy found killed, cops have no leads, found pentagram carved in head, you know, whatever. Like, you suppose the other serial killer reads and goes, bastard, well, I was here first. You know? Do you know what I mean?
Like a serial killer listserv.
This is a stupid conversation. Let's move on.
Why don't we? Well, let's talk about Chinese hecklers, because that's on our minds today. A heckler interrupted a White House ceremony for Chinese President Hu.
Who?
Who?
I'm sorry. That was the dumbest thing that's ever happened, but I...
That was pretty bad.
And it's still early in the show.
Oh, I couldn't resist.
Well, his actual full name is Hu Zinto. The woman had some complaints about human rights in China and yelled in Chinese.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Oh, my gosh.
She was upset.
I did not see that coming.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
She's like right in front of all the cameras doing this. Somehow she pushed her way through the crowd.
Jesus.
You've got to warn us about that stuff.
I never heard it. I saw the story. Drudge did that thing this morning where it was in red type, in like 50-point type. You know what I mean? And it was like, you know, woman heckles who? And there was just text, though. Here's the reason I know about this, because they were carrying it live in China. And, of course, in China, they have state-controlled television, where the government puts a... See, in China, the government has an agency that puts unreasonable regulations on what you can say on the air. And these regulations are vague and enforced only at the whim of the government. Nobody really understands what they mean. And you don't really understand when you've gone too far or what the guidelines are until the government decides that you've stepped over the boundaries. And then they fine you and punish you.
What a terrible place to live.
It's like
their own Patriot Act.
Really. And so those people should rise up and they should riot against the government.
Well, they did not so long ago, but they made soup out of it.
I'm just saying the people in China who live under that system where the government unfairly regulates content on the airwaves, they should rise up and engage in bloody revolution. Do it. Do it now.
They did.
Anyway.
They were run over by tanks. Remember Tiananmen Square?
Moving on. The point I was making, though, is that in China, there's some guy who has to sit there with, like, the knob, like the on-off knob. And every time, like, booby, turn it down, you know. Free thought, turn it down. And so every time something comes across that's whatever, like, he has to, like, hit the dump button. And so I guess if you were watching this, according to Drudge, if you were watching this in China this morning, it was just, like, live for a second and then, like, black for, like, 10 seconds. Live, black, live, black. Because the poor censor's just in there like, I don't know what to cut! You know, it's just like, every time you go back, here's the... That's fantastic.
Well, the worst part is, throughout this entire speech, it took him like 20 minutes to get a translator in.
Yeah. Well, so, who can speak that language?
There must
crazy
be
crazy pops and whistles. Okay, so here's what I... Were we a zany FM morning show, which regrettably we're not, you know what we would do with this? Come on, this is a test.
Make it a song?
Well, there's that, too. Oh, or we do
with
some
wing.
Sort of a... We do some sort of a...
No, we should have wing break, like that, pretend that's wing and...
This is Dean...
Or Hillary Rodham Clinton.
This is Wing getting all gangsta on us. This is the crunky side of Wing. No, what we would do is we would do a kooky, like, you know, tell us what you think the woman's saying. We do, like, some caption contest.
Oh, we've done that before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, whatever. The point is, here's what she's saying. I don't really know what she's saying, and as Morgan Freeman would say, to tell you the truth, I don't want to know.
Why do
Okay, we have to stop.
You've got to stop.
Okay.
That could be Chinese profanity, bro. You know.
Well, but it was on the news. This is a news hour. This is the news subject. This is a news story. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. So and who can tell?
Well, she was hauled away.
And she's crazy anyway.
Probably.
All right.
Meanwhile, the president said after that the U.S. and China must work together due to the rich natural resources we all need. That's the second one.
Is this from Metro?
Yes, it is.
I wonder if anybody at Metro knows what she's saying. Now, you know, to tell the truth, I don't want to know because it's funnier in my head. Because in my head, it's a whole lot of like, I turn you all into goblins! Or, you know, or just some crazy Chinese nuttery. Where's this Bush?
Yes.
What is he saying here?
The U.S. and China must work together.
Uh-huh. We'll continue to cooperate to respond to natural disasters. We'll continue to cooperate to develop alternatives to fossil fuels. New technologies can drive economic growth on both sides of the Pacific and help us become better stewards of our natural resources.
Meanwhile,
it's the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, you try.
Oh, man. She's like the Chinese Richard Quest.
Oh, she is, isn't she?
She really is. Just a whole lot of, out, gone, sacked, fired.
She'll be hired by somebody by the end of the day.
Oh, we should hire her as our morning show. We should have her do mornings here. Or we should just hire her and just keep her in a glass box.
She could be the new Helen Thomas.
that's hilarious.
You could ask the group what he thinks about
it. Can't you see Scott McClellan? You know, he's like, and so the president announced that the initiatives will take place in the third fiscal quarter of financial year 07. Do we have questions? Yes, a Chinese woman in the front. Well, I think if you review the statements issued by the White House last year, I
hereby resign.
We have a follow-up. No, I can't. We've already addressed that. No, we'll have to move on. All right. Helen Thomas in the back. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the White House shakeup continued yesterday. One staff member resigning, another giving up on some of his duties. On the Today Show, Republican strategist Mary Matlin said...
Oh, is she still a Republican strategist?
She supports Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld still.
Quibble with some of the tactics, and there has been contentious, but this is all new policy. What you can't quibble with is that we are safer today than we were 4 years ago.
Okay, I thought a house landed on her.
No.
Okay, well, whatever. Have you seen her lately? There was a time. Back in 1997, when I found her attractive for like an hour. Those days are long gone, by the way. She looks bad. That's really, she looks like a fireplace poker. And of course, James Carville just becomes more and more evil looking by the day. James Carville looks like Serpentor. If the G.I. Joe villain from many days past, or possibly Lex Luthor, they really got to get James Carville to play that part. And he's got he's bald and he's got the wraparound. He sort of looks like this weird cross between like a reptile of some kind, like a Gila monster and Hunter Thompson. But she's just strange looking. And they got a kid now, at least one that I know of. That was a palpable physical shudder. I guess she's done trying to be a talk show host. We can all be glad for that.
And Tucker Carlson has taken off his bow tie to attract the ladies.
Is it working, Sarah?
No, he still opens his mouth and speaks.
All right, there you go.
Oh, that's
okay.
Too bad.
Thank you.
Well, the day after the largest illegal immigration raid against a single employer, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chernoff said the crackdown will continue. He says good enough for them.
Agents of Immigration and Customs Enforcement executed the largest single worksite enforcement operation against the company in American history. In fact, we arrested more people in this single worksite enforcement operation than in the entirety of last year.
Still 1,200 arrested, 12 million to go.
Well, there you go. So at least we're making progress.
Well, if the government doesn't build security fencing along the Mexican border, the Minutemen will build it for them. The Civilian Watch Group says they're going to put a work crew together and gave the president one more chance to build a fence along 700 miles with the U.S.-Mexican border.
A fence isn't going to do it. It's got to be a wall. It's got to be a huge wall with trained monkeys at the top, armed with huge cauldrons of boiling lead.
How about the Stasi? Are they still around unemployed over at East Germany? They know how to do that.
Seriously. I mean, they're always willing to help. All right, we should break here because we got the, is it Baumgarten? Baumgarten's going to talk about, wait, don't tell me. No, I had it and I lost it. Oh, wait, no, he's going to talk about Hillary Clinton running for president. Fantastic. All right, don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We will continue after this. You stay there. Johnson 970, listener party number 9. Now 6.5 hours away. Don't go anywhere.
So I pull over to the side of the road. I heard, son, do you know I'm stopping you for? Because I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I get some up? Well, you was doing 55 and 54. Uh-huh. Lost the registration and the body of the car. You carrying it away.
Good Lord. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, we are now 6 hours, 27 minutes, 31 seconds away from Listener Party 9. Happening tonight, Sabala's my favorite. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
I love New York City.
From the city of locks, our good friend Gary Baumgarten, live in New York, CNN radio correspondent. How are you, Gary?
Oh, this is Ed McCarthy.
Oh, I see.
Is this impersonation of me better than mine of his?
Is this going to be like a big daisy chain where everybody's going to have to impersonate?
Rupe's going to be on next. And
see, here's the thing. One of you is going to end up impersonating Lisa Goddard, and then it's going to turn ugly.
Then we're going to have a problem. That's right.
then it's going to be a whole lot of like, my name is Lisa. You know,
that's
and
right,
then
that's right.
Everything goes downhill from there. Well, first, before we talk about Hillary Clinton, this is a thing that doesn't, people in Portland, in a lot of other cities don't really understand how big this is, but they're going to be reading about this. Is it true? Is it 29,000 doormen and basically city apartment building workers? They're on strike or they're going on strike?
At midnight tonight, 28,000. Yep.
And people who don't live in a city like New York, and again, and I don't live in a city like New York, but I mean, having even just gone through there a time or two, that is the sort of thing that will paralyze a city like New York.
Well, yeah, and, you know, these big buildings where the hotties live, you know, because they are opening the doors for the richest people in New York, no question about that. They don't want people just walking up and knocking on their door.
Sure, absolutely.
So I don't know how they're going to secure the buildings. And really, in this post 9/11 era, the job of the doorman is greater now than it ever has been before, because they provide a sense of security, and they have actually been trained by the police department to look for suspicious activity.
Really?
I
had no idea. Well, and this is not just this is also handyman. This is also the guy who like fixes stuff.
And the porters and the elevator operators, I think, but it's mainly doormen.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's insane. So, well, have fun with that, I guess.
Well, the last time they went on strike, they were gone for 12 days, and they're going to try to beat Billy Joel's record, because Billy Joel is doing 12 days at the Garden on this run, which is a record for a single performer, and so they're going to try to beat his record. So we'll see.
Well, all right, then. Here's the big news. Here's what I care about.
Yeah, tell me what you care about.
I care about Hillary Clinton. And I'm reading now from the prepared copy.
Yes.
Senator Hillary Clinton has picked up the endorsement of two New York firefighter unions. They're the first endorsements for her reelection campaign.
Yep.
Unions say it's because of her work in health care for firefighters who responded to the 9/11 attacks. And this is, and I'm presuming this is because she leaned on the industry to take care of the firefighters who were.
Yes. Yes. You know, when she came on the political scene here, the firefighters who are typically fairly conservative,
sure,
looked at her as this raving liberal lunatic, but she is really, in the post 9/11 era, and a lot of people outside of New York don't realize this, has really fought to get the funding to properly equip the fire department and the police department, all the first responders, but mainly the fire department, because they're, you know, there's kind of a cultural difference in New York City between the way the city prepares the police department and how it prepares the fire department. And the firefighters have been crying for the longest time that they get, the Cinderella of the family.
Well,
she's really been fighting for them and for health care for the firefighters and the police officers who have been, who were working at Ground Zero and who have subsequently fallen ill to respiratory issues that shouldn't have been a problem, because Christy Todd Whitman, the EPA chief at the time, said, "Oh no, there's no problem around."
My question about this:
a lot of them are getting cancers, and
my question about like this that. is that she's doing the re-election campaign now. So, has she said definitively that she is ruling out the presidential run?
No, but she won't announce that she's a presidential candidate until after she's reelected this year.
Now, is everybody in New York going to be annoyed at her if she gets reelected and it's like, "And I'm going to be leaving to run for president"?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
All right.
I think everybody knows that that's her intent, and she's going to get reelected very handily in New York, and whoever the Republican is that gets the nomination will be the sacrificial lamb.
That's what I was going to say. Do you feel sorry for that guy, whoever is picked to run against Hillary in New York?
Actually, there's a woman in that race, too.
Because
I think they recognize that it's an opportunity for them
to lose,
raise their political stature a little bit, so that maybe, you know, the party will we'll do something in turn for them in the future, because they knew that when they entered the race that they were going to lose.
Yeah, that's taking like 10 for the team. All right.
That's right.
My friend, I will talk to you soon. You enjoy the rest of your day
Thank
there
you.
In the
you
city
too.
That never sleeps. All right, there you go. That's senior radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten in New York. I can't do an impression of anybody. Rick, are you sure that's not Wing covering Godsmack? We've got the... Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, these spoken word things.
You know, speaking of which, here's here's how devoted I am to listener party nine. Yeah, making sure that things go flawlessly, making sure that we are there until the last listener is drunk or passed out or hauled away or killed. And I am actually, because it happens at like 7 a.m. tomorrow, there's just no way I could do it. I got a call this morning. Guy's like, would you like to interview Henry Rollins tomorrow? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you'd have to do it at 7 a.m. And there's no way. Just, I actually had to, this is how devoted I am. I actually had to pass on interviewing, because it's like, and I said, can I do it later? And they go, no, it's a pre-tape thing. You got to do it at like 10 a.m. Eastern, which is like 7 a.m. And the prospect of me being here at 7 a.m. the day after a listener party and trying to have my crap together enough to interview Henry Rollins, who is intimidating under the best of circumstances, that's not going to happen. Because if you listen to the last time I interviewed Henry Rollins, and I have that tape around somewhere, I'll play it, and it's a whole lot of me going, oh, I'm a Mr. Rollins, please don't hit me! You know, just a whole lot of waiting for him to put his fist right through my face. So we passed on Henry Rollins, speaking of spoken word.
Time for the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch. For Thursday. There we go.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I gotta have faith.
Speaking of the spoken word, is Jane Fonda supposed to be here, and Gore Vidal?
I've got that here somewhere. Now, is Jane Fonda here as part of Word Stuck?
Yep.
Jane Fonda.
Is she one of the cheap guests, or one of the more expensive? Because I think some of them start at $5.
She's speaking for free.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we got to go just for the hecklers. That's too, not that I'm encouraging you to heckle.
Like that woman?
We should just put this
some
in a boombox.
Some Vietnamese woman.
We should totally just put this in a boombox and stand at the back and play it. Like, are there any questions for Miss Fonda? Oh, that's fantastic. Jane Fonda's going to be reading from My Life So Far, a book no one cares about.
She was on Larry King a couple nights ago.
Jane Fonda drones on in a pretentious fashion about the story of her remarkable life, from film roles to various marriages. Isn't that sad when you put various marriages in your... From anti-war activism to feminism and child advocacy, reveals the woman behind the legend and rich insights into the struggles of being human. From Jane Fonda. Please note, this free event takes place at the First Congregational Church, 1126 Southwest Park, downtown Portland. Seating is limited to first come, first serve. So seating is limited to the first 500 redneck guys that show up just because they want to throw rocks at her. So I'm almost tempted to go to that just to hear people scream at her, because you know it'll happen.
Now, what did she do?
Tim's
Hanoi Jane.
Yeah, I'm not fond of Hanoi Jane. Do you know what? She did several
things. I knew she did something.
Well, she posed with North Vietnamese anti-aircraft guns, for one thing.
Bad what? Thing.
Yeah.
Bad thing.
And was
she aware that she was doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is at the height of the... Nobody liked Vietnam anyway at 5 after.
Yeah, I mean...
Not that it was good.
But. I mean, it was at the height of the anti-Vietnam War backlash, but still... Simple common sense would tell you that perhaps if you are a very recognizable American celebrity, now there are some urban legends that go around about her, such as the fact that she like ratted out the names of like, that she gave the name supposedly of prisoners who had information, or that she gave some information about that she met with POWs and then gave information about them to the guards who tortured them. And that's all crap. No, those are all urban legends. But she did pose with a bunch of North Vietnamese soldiers, and I think she posed actually sitting in the control seat of an anti-aircraft gun used by the North Vietnamese to, you know, shoot at Americans.
Oh, my God.
And which she has never apologized for, by the way. She's given a bunch of passive, and I'm not some hard hat, but she's never apologized for it. She's given some sort of passive, like, I was young, and I believe that it was a tumultuous time. But she's never just said, like, I should not have done that. That was dumb, and it was a mistake, and I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. She's never done it. She's never apologized for it. And again, I'm a big bleeding heart, but I mean, come on. It's just at some point your brain's got to kick in and stop you from posing with North Vietnamese soldiers. So there you go.
She was good in Barbarella.
Yeah, and her bazooms were fantastic in that. And can't knock her movie career, I suppose. Except for that unfortunate, wasn't that Meet the Fockers? Wasn't that her? Was that Jane Fonda?
No.
What was she in? She was in some terrible movie just a year or so ago, wasn't it? It was like her big comeback?
Monster-in-law.
Monster-in-law. Yeah. There you go. That's what I'm... Okay, so... I mean, you can't knock, you know, on Golden Pond and the China Syndrome and so forth. But, I mean, yeah, she bugs me. And, I mean, and she... What possible rich insights into the struggles of being human could Jane Fonda and her workout tape, which I think now is being condemned by every doctor on the planet because it'll tear your abdominal wall trying to exercise with it? So, you know, Jane Fonda, who hawked a workout tape while getting tons of plastic surgery to try to retain a youthful appearance. That was not successful, by the way. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back to the clergy watch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your clip. We're in the clergy watch.
Mexican priest chops up liver. A Mexican priest has confessed to strangling a woman with whom he had an 18-month-old child before chopping her up and dumping her body. Cesar Torres admitted killing the woman, 22-year-old Veronica Salinas, on Easter Sunday right after Mass. Police arrested him after being tipped off by the victim's mother and finding him covered with blood and bruises.
Yeah, covered in blood and bruises. I hear a band name.
During the fight, Torres strangled and killed the woman and dragged her body to the bathroom where he used the kitchen knife to do his dirty work, according to his confession.
Anytime the killing the woman isn't the dirty work part of the story, you know that it's something that's going to end up in this program.
He then put the pieces in plastic bags and drove them to the municipal cemetery where he dumped them.
Well, at least he took her to a cemetery and did the right thing.
He did not resist and willingly confessed to killing the woman. He is charged with murder.
Well, there you go. There's your clergy watch for... Thank you.
Cause I gotta have faith.
Rick, this email says, subject line, crazy lady. Rick, was that a news story about the crazy lady from The Simpsons with all the cats? See, this is the fantastic thing about this soundbite is, this soundbite is sort of a Rorschach. You can just sort of... You can just drop it in anywhere.
It stimulates the mind.
The thing.
Yeah.
Rick, what the heck is going on with that station? I'm trying to tune in and all I hear is some chick screaming. Please fix it before I go insane. I need your show to help keep me sane from the cubicle life. Signed the moniker.
Right. Listen to the Chinese American program Saturday at noontime.
I would listen to an entire hour of just that woman screaming. Let's see. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, in this era of easy ad skipping with TiVo-like recording devices, could television viewers one day be forced to watch commercials with a system that prevents channel switching? Yes. According to Royal Philips Electronics, a patent application with the U.S. Patent Office says researchers in the Netherland-based company says they've created a technology that lets broadcasters freeze the channel during the commercial, so you have to watch it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
the patent is published, and it features... Okay, it has a program-by-program box, apparently. Devices that could carry the technology would be a television or a set-top box.
Here's the thing. This is the thing that you're talking about, hooking to between the television. This isn't like an adjunct to like a DVR or something.
No.
Yeah, see, that's... I read these articles about how, like... I saw some survey the other day from some... There's all these corporations whose sole job is to make other corporations feel good about changing times, and their sole job is to go, no. Technology isn't threatening your ad revenue base. It's all fine. No, don't worry. No, I know you're hemorrhaging money, but there's a brighter day. There's a silver lining on the horizon. None of which is true. And so...
Buy this box that lets you watch every commercial.
Yes. So this company... they had some story about TV commercials, and they were saying, like, well, in the age of TiVo and so forth, they said, no, television viewing among TiVo users is the same as it always was, and their theory was, it's because even though you're watching commercials on Fast Forward, you're still able to register the logos and the brands and the whatever during the commercials, right? Because, like, the American brain is faster than it used to be because of whatever. Except here's the thing is, no TiVo user with half a brain skips their commercials by using the Fast Forward. They all use the, wait for it, Sarah?
30-second skip.
They all use the 30-second skip button. Here's a little message from me. I don't even see them. I haven't seen a television commercial in 3.5 years. Why don't you eat on that, pal? So... That's
you're missing Donkey Steps and some of the other good ones.
Okay. Rick, let's see. This is from our good friend, Aaron.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Rick, something strikes me as curious. My Chinese and, well, hard to understand coworker who I share a cubicle with went on vacation 2 days ago. Now a shrieking woman appears in the media hurling Chinese. Coincidence? I think not. Also,
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
Tell Sarah.
You better not.
Tell Sarah.
Aaron better not have been so brave.
Tell Sarah. I just ran into Jake Gyllenhaal outside of Chipotle downtown.
No, she didn't.
He was quite verbose when I said, hey, are you Jake Gyllenhaal? He, in mid-chew, said, quote, yeah. To which I replied, I know a chick who wants to do you. Jake Gyllenhaal replied, quote, cool, I gotta go, end quote. And then he says, no lie, it happened. Sorry, Sarah, I tried. That is from our good friend Aaron, Geek in the City.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Not just Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm reading the email right now. I'm not the.
I cannot believe he blew it for me.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, let's invite him to the listener party.
Why would he be here? Is he filming something here?
I don't know.
He's not part of that. The Peter Gibbons. I gotta quit doing it because I'm gonna meet him someday and be like Peter Gibbons. TPS.
That movie's long gone. Because everyone was already in it, so.
No, yeah. Okay, so why would he be here?
Well, Sean Penn was in town, too. Maybe they're doing something together.
Maybe they're making out somewhere
I've
together
got to
right now.
I've got to investigate, because if there's a chance we can get Jake Gyllenhaal at the listener party.
Jake Gyllenhaal wouldn't like our listener party.
He totally would.
No.
You think he's still leaving?
What?
Yeah, somebody go down to Chipotle.
Well, we can call him if he was there.
No, he was leaving. He was walking out.
We should call and see if he was there. I am crazy.
Okay, so this would require a call to Chipotle downtown to see if Jake Gyllenhaal was eating there.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Does anybody know? I didn't mean that you should. Oh, okay, fine. does anybody know if call us if you know a reason why Jake Gyllenhaal would be in, like, if there's a movie or something? First of all, Jake Gyllenhaal would never come to our listener. And second of all, doesn't he strike you as the kind of guy? Look, I know you're all hot for him because he's got like, he's you know got a wounded man child within or whatever, and he's you know he's dark and he has a brooding edge to him or whatever. Him and Joaquin sit around being like you know pretentious and you know like they
wear his color contacts
troubled or something. Yeah, but I get but doesn't he strike you as the kind of guy who would sort of like roll his eyes and be like, ugh, I don't want to be at any party where everybody's going to be drinking. And I don't want to be at some party that's all about girls and booze. He'd totally be above that.
We don't know that for a fact unless we ask.
I'm just speculating. Maybe he is a party-on kind of dude. I suspect that it's not the case, but, you know, we'll find out.
Give him a chance to say yes.
Okay. Are we in the middle of a watch or something?
No. We just stopped what we were doing.
We just stopped because of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep, he has that effect on people.
How about this? Rick, you played Hello There to open the show. Cheap Trick is one of your favorite bands. Rick Nielsen is known to make early morning phone calls. Cheap Trick is playing at Chinook Winds Friday and Saturday night. Is Cheap Trick showing up at your listener party? God damn it, tell me.
Oh, that'd be rad.
Yeah, the answer's no.
Yeah.
Moving on, here's Tim Riley.
Not that they're not invited.
No, so named Rick Nielsen. Robert, come on down. Bring bun. But no. Here's let's not jack our hopes up beyond all reasonable expectations, okay?
So
let's
Jake Gyllenhaal and
yes, Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal and Cheap Trick together, the legendary meeting together at last.
We better change the marquee.
I'll
just be happy if normal people show up.
Yeah, I'll be happy if
anybody shows up.
I'll be happy if we're just not there alone.
Well, yeah. Let's find out if there's anyone out there who ate sitting next to Jake Gyllenhaal. They have to be at the Patriots.
I'm sure Clyde is 10 seconds away from calling in to mention somebody's name that he's had dinner with recently. Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe he's here to see Pink. Maybe they're having a study.
Maybe they're all sleeping in Clyde's basement with him. Okay. Let's do what these salespeople call managing expectations. No, let's clarify right now that to the best of my knowledge, Cheap Trick will not be joining the band on stage. Not that they're not invited. You're more than welcome.
Not that they won't be a very special guest.
We do have a
more personal guest.
Well, you know, we do have a 1 degree separation from Cheap Trick, though. Because our friend,
who
I'm talking about, rocked with them.
Uh-huh.
So, well, who knows?
This is making no sense to anyone.
Here's Tim Riley.
Authorities in Eugene are searching for a man who was seen on bus surveillance video spitting on a woman after reportedly finding out she was Iranian. Lane County Transit released a surveillance video of the incident. It shows a man walking up to a woman asking if she's from Iran, for whatever reason he asked that, and then spitting at her before leaving the bus. They're asking for the public's help in learning the man's identity. They requested that local residents call Lane County Transit Office if they found the man who spit on the Iranian lady.
Okay, we've got more Jake Gyllenhaal news. Who wants to hear it?
I do.
Okay, we've got more. This is again from Aaron.
Hold me.
Will you
like you did by the leg?
No, I'll never stop.
think you just pretend some emails are from him just so you can play that song.
I'm reading it right here.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, he was leaving. My next question was going to be, quote, hey, what are you doing in Portland? Alas, I blew it with the mentioning of Sarah Dillon's Oh, Love. He did seem like a boring-ass hipster, though. Aaron continues, screw him, I'm more of a Heath Ledger man from here on out. Aaron Geek in the City. P.S. He did smell like corn chips, though.
Hold me. Like you did by the leg on the...
Well, you know, he might have been in a bad mood from eating that aluminum foil. It's hard when you're cutting one of their burritos or anything else not to carve off a piece of aluminum foil and not notice you've eaten it till the very end.
It's true, until you bite down on it.
I'm sure that... does Chipotle advertise with us?
No. Nobody advertises with us.
Well, okay then.
Well, if I go to IMDb, it'll show what movies he's currently filming.
Well, here's the thing, Sarah. It's almost... Sarah.
No, but the Ron Livingston movie was not...
I'm way ahead of you, Sarah.
On there.
He is currently filming a movie on the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah.
According to the IMDb, Internet Movie Database, this is not filming in Portland. But they have been wrong from time to time.
He is playing one of the... I thought he was playing the serial killer, but he's playing one of the cops.
Is that the Fincher? Because believe it or not, because it's about a serial killer, I know. Believe it or not, I think there are actually two and possibly three Zodiac Killer. He's one of the greatest serial killers, by the way. There's actually two different Zodiac films in production, and I think he's working on the David Fincher one. So there you go. David Fincher following the don't forget what made you famous rule.
But then again, there could be a secret shoot. I overheard some people during this Ron Livingston movie pointing out that sometimes they have secret shoots in Oregon to bypass SAG rules and not tell anybody.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of juicy gossip I wasn't supposed to hear.
So,
and
John...
being a member of SAG, naturally I was...
So, so Jake Gyllenhaal's here happened to stick it to the man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, there you go. Big news, though, today, though, the bigger story is that we are now 6 hours, 5 minutes, and 6 seconds away from Listener Party 9. Happening tonight, Sabala's Mount Tabor, 7 p.m., featuring a special guest, featuring an ear-shattering, mind-blowing performance. By the artist, I guess, still known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, because we've got nothing in the way of a... Let me read some more. Here's some more band names that have been suggested to us. This is, by the way, more comments on Raiders of the Lost Rock. Rick, that's pretty clever of you. I'm surprised you didn't come up with Temple of Boom. Ha, ha, ha. I thought of some others for you. The Last Rocksade. 2006, A Rock Odyssey.
I bet you liked that one, didn't you?
I kind of do. Rocka Blanca. Rudolph the Rock-Nosed Reindeer.
Ugh.
I swear
you've
to God.
You've got to throw that away.
Dude, Where's My Rock? That's actually not bad. Okay. And then he signs it.
There is no sign of life after that one.
That was just sort of a... Just sort of a toss in an empty basketball. And then he signs it, two separate sentences, bada bing, Z. All right, there you go. That's from Ron. There you go. So, see. Are we done for this hour? Thank Christ.
Maybe he was filming a Chipotle commercial, which would be obvious.
Which will air in Japan somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. 503-733-2...
We know someone who can do the voice.
Now, 30% fewer hydrogenated fats! Buy one today! Share with the whole family! Wear shame ribbons! All right. Let's end this hour now. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Pack after this at Johnson 970. You stay right there.
Be damned, you know I wanna be damned, dancing through the night with you. And if I gotta be